The Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, recorded in John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. These are the words of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the vine, dear fellow branches. There are some pictures and illustrations that the Bible uses that are a little bit difficult for us to get our minds around living in 2018. When we see Jesus healing people with leprosy, we can picture that, but unless you've spent some time perhaps in a third world country, most of us have never seen leprosy up close. It's hard to understand. When we hear him even speak of marriage and marriage customs and virgins with trimmed lamps waiting for a bridegroom to show up at midnight and things like that, that's going to take us a little bit to try to get into Jewish wedding customs. It doesn't quite translate so quickly. And there's a number of other things like that, where it takes us a little bit more work to try to pick up on what does this mean, this picture. But here's good news. That is not the case today. Why? Because we live in Virginia. Within the last 20 years, something that's been going on in Virginia, or been attempted to happen since the time of Thomas Jefferson or before, has come on big time. It's the wine industry and the growth of vineyards. Perhaps the only thing that gets put up more often than new traffic lights in Northern Virginia appears to be a new vineyard. They're all over the place. And I saw it again as I was driving west recently through a beautiful rolling Virginia hill country. It didn't take too long before on this side of the road and that side of the road were vineyards. And right along the road were grapes, vines. You can see them right there growing. I never saw that where I grew up in the upper Midwest. We just saw cows. But here in Virginia, you get to see vineyards along with your cows. It's a very nice aesthetic touch. And so, Northern Virginians, you're not going to have that much of a problem, I don't think, getting Jesus' picture here today that he's talking about in John chapter 15. He is talking about really how grapes grow. Because 2,000 years ago, if you were in northern Palestine, just as northern Virginia, where Jesus spent most of his ministry, that's where Galilee was, you would have seen rolling hill country, and you would have seen vineyards all around, because wine was a very, very important thing for them, as it is for some northern Virginians too. Now, I don't pretend to be an expert in how all of this works, but I think I get the general gist of it. You have a vine, and then you have branches that grow out of that, and it needs sunlight, it needs soil, all of that. But from my brief studies on how all of this works, I've found out that you also need something from outside of the grape bush to help it grow. Not just the sun, not just soil, but you need pruner. You need someone who's going to come through there and grape bush by grape bush look at it and see what branches need to be cut off. Now that sounds almost counterintuitive. Why would you cut off branches? That doesn't seem to be good. But the thing is, there are so many branches that will grow. Some of them will not really produce grapes or good grapes or fruit. They'll just kind of suck up the nutrients from the soil, and those nutrients won't be able to spread throughout the plant. It won't be able to produce fruit, and so the master pruner needs to come through and snip every branch that would not bear fruit. And sometimes that's not easy to see at first. Sometimes those branches look good on the outside. In fact, they can be filled with leaves, but they're not filled with grapes. And so that master gardener goes through and he knows he needs to prune and get rid of anything that's going to detract, going to take away nutrients from the branches that will produce grapes. And he has to do this season by season, year by year, cultivating the branches that are connected to the vine. Okay. Got the picture? Let's jump into the text then. This is how Jesus applies it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Later he says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. All right, let's connect the dots. Did you catch what Jesus says happens in our spiritual lives? He is the vine. We are the branches. And who is God the Father? Did you get that? He is the gardener. He's the gardener. He's the pruner. He's the master winemaker. And he goes back and forth, and it's his job to cut off branches and prune branches, to prune you and to prune me. In other words, God has plans for you and for me too, plans to bear fruit. Spiritual fruit, plans to do good works for His glory, to love Him and to love others. And He has plans to feed us and prune us and grow us so that our faith flourishes and that the world can see the fruit that we bear. He's intense about this. You may not feel content to grow in your faith. You may not feel content to fight against sin. You might not really care what goes out in your head or comes out of your mouth or stews around in your heart. You may be fine with that, but God isn't. God is not content. God has a specific plan to grow your faith and a specific desire and urgency to cut out of your life and out of your heart and out of your mind and out of your mouth anything that would get in the way of bearing and producing fruit for Him, and that would love others. And He is serious. Whatever words, attitudes, actions, thoughts that do not fall in line with Him and help you grow, He says He wants to cut it out. He wants to prune it. And He wants to focus you more and more and more and more on Jesus, the vine, and your relationship with Him. And there are two responses that we might have to that idea. One person within us, the new person that God has created, says, that sounds nice. I can't wait to bear more joy and peace and love. I love Him and I love others. But then there's someone else who lives in you, your old sinful nature. And your old sinful nature says, no! That's a terrible idea! Pruning? Cutting off? No! That's not good. That's nasty. I don't want that. And the old sinful nature would say, no. I don't need to be connected to the vine. I'm connected to myself. I can figure out what I need to grow. And whatever makes me feel good must be good. And if I'm pleased with the fruit that I'm bringing forth in my life, who cares? Who can say it's right or wrong? If it feels good, it must be good. And that sinful nature in us is lazy and wretched and doesn't want the pruner to get near us. That sinful nature within us would try to excuse all the spiritual rot in our life and call it fruit. It's that sinful nature that says, look, this is just the way I am. I can't really change. Everyone's sin. Fight against sin and temptation, yeah, but I'm busy. This is just the way I am. Look, this anger that I have and this ability to fly off the handle and hurt all kinds of people around me, that's just my personality. That doesn't need to be proved. Look, I just have urges. Everyone has urges. And if I act in them and I don't really hurt anyone else, what's the big deal? Stop talking about this pruning stuff. And by the way, oh man, growing in the Word of God, I've tried that a few times. It's pretty slow going at times, and it's a lot faster just to watch some stuff on TV and feel good or drink something. This doesn't seem like a good idea. In fact, that sinful nature within us is so corrupt and rotten that it doesn't want the pruner to get anywhere close. In fact, that sinful nature would rather guard and hide and cherish the sin and rot that would grow in our heart and say, no, 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 no. Anyone else but me. And because our God knows how stubborn that sinful nature is and how easy weeds grow, he gives us a reality check. Listen again to what he says to us in verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. God's answer to sin is not to play with it, not to coddle it. He doesn't pat us on the head and say, oh, well, that's okay. Boys will be boys and girls will be girls. No. The master vintner's design for you is to cut off anything that doesn't bear any fruit. Why are you alive right now? Why do you exist? For one purpose, to bear fruit to God's glory, to love him and love others. And I know this sounds very uncomfortable to us sitting in America in 2018, but your purpose in life is not to be happy. Your purpose in life is not to make yourself as comfortable as you can be. Your purpose in life is not about yourself. You exist to glorify God and love those around you. And if you don't do that, you're like a big grape plant that doesn't produce grapes. There's no point. There's no purpose. And I guarantee you, if you talk to any of the winemakers in our vineyards around us, and you ask them, what would you do with a plant that only produces rot season after season? They'd say, well, behind that barn over there is where we have a fire each fall. We're not going to let that thing keep growing. Whew. So now I ask myself, and I ask you, which branches in your life right now need to be cut off? What is getting in the way of your relationship with God? What's sucking away the nutrients that he wants to give? What needs to be burned in the fire? Ooh, I say, oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. There's so much that grows there. And then when I think it's hacked off, it wants to grow again. New buds and sprouts of sin seem to keep growing again and again. Lord, don't cast me away from your presence. But friends, why is a master winemaker so particular about each branch? He said at the beginning, because he has a vision for each plant. He wants to see fruit grow. In a sense, it's been said that the world's greatest winemakers love each one of their plants. They know each one. They've been with them for years. They know what should be growing and what shouldn't be growing, and they long to bring forth a harvest and to celebrate. Why does God want to prune you? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. And here's good news. It's wonderful news, and it's freeing news. The reason you exist isn't for yourself. That's good news. Your life's goal isn't happiness. That's good news. You don't always have to be comfortable to be loved. That's good news. And the good news is, in Him, you have life already. And now He wants to continue to bring forth fruits from that life. Listen to this beautiful word of gospel from verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. We're talking a lot today about good works and how to produce them, but we have to be very certain of one thing. Our good works, our fruits, don't get us clean in God's sight. He doesn't yell at us saying, produce more grapes and then maybe I'll love you. No. When we're rotten and dead, He said, I choose to love you. We are already clean because we're connected into Jesus by faith. And every beautiful fruit that He ever brought forth has been put over the rottenness of our sin. We're covered and cleansed by Him. God the Father looks at us and says, you are clean. You are perfect right now. I love you right now. I love you just the way you are because in Jesus you are perfect. But I love you so much I won't leave you as you are. Now I want to live in you to bring forth fruits to glorify me. You are already clean, but now I'm going to do amazing things in your life. Because of who you are already, I will bring forth fruits. I will break off and destroy the branches that would get in the way, but I will feed your faith through the Word. You're so important to Him. He loves you so much, He won't let you go your own way. I have watched a documentary or two on winemaking. I got a Bachelor of Arts degree in college. We were trained to have interests in many things, so that's why I watched this. And when I was watching this documentary and I saw the master winemaker pruning, I realized that what he did doesn't look anything like what I do in the spring when I'm trimming my bushes. When I'm trimming my bushes, I want to get done with that job in a hurry. And so I take out my big scissor hacker thing, which I probably haven't sharpened in a few years, and I'm hacking around in it, and then the bushes are pushing me back, and then I'm pushing them. If you want to be entertained, I'll let you know when I'm doing it. You can come over and watch. It's quite a spectacle. And there's branches everywhere. And then I finally say, good enough. And then I go in and do something else. That's not what a master pruner does. No, he knows every branch. And he just cuts, 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 cuts. But then he lets that branch grow. That's what our God does. He comes at you with the law sometimes. And he shows you what you don't want to see, but what you know is there already. But then he cuts that out. Not because he wants to destroy you, but because he wants to give you life. And in its place, then, he brings you the gospel. He says, you are clean, you are forgiven, you are in me, and I am in you. And then day by day, in that word that you read at home, and that word that you hear here and in there in Sunday school and Bible study, day by day, he keeps feeding you so that more and more you see you have everything you need in him. You have joy, you have peace, you have contentment. And then he stands back and he looks at it and he says, you are my glory. That's what the last verse of our text said. This is all done so that he will glorify in you. And he celebrates what you do. Again, at the end of the documentary, when it was time to harvest all of the wine, the winemakers in this region of the world, this one was France, they all got together and they had this celebration. They had a feast and they looked back and said, wow, look at what the vines have produced. That's what God does for you day by day. He looks at you and he says, look at the fruit that the Spirit is producing in their life. Look at this. On a beautiful sunny day, they're here. That's fruit. He looks at you and he says, look at that. He's unloading the dishwasher for her, even though he doesn't want to do that. That's fruit. Look at that. She's changing a diaper at 2 a.m. and she can't even open up both eyes. But she's doing that because that's fruit, because she loves me. And that love is now coming through her into that little baby. Look! He smiled at his coworker, even though he gets annoyed at his coworker. Look! They opened up their wallet and they put in some money in a plate, not because they have to, but because they want other people to know about Jesus. Look! They went out to coffee with a friend who was hurting and broken, and they listened and they shared me. Look! There's more joy and hope and peace in that heart. That's all me. And your master gardener looks over you and says, you are my masterpiece. You are connected to the vine. You are clean. And I will live in you and produce fruit in you. Ah, how wonderful to be connected to the vine, to be pruned and grown by the master gardener. There's an old bumper sticker. I've shared this with you before. It's a little bit sassy. It says, Napa is for auto parts. Virginia is for wine. I'll let that one sink in for a little bit. Get that? Okay, anyways. Napa, California, whatever, is for auto parts. Virginia is for wine. But you, children of God, are for bearing fruit to God's glory forever. And that's what He will do in you now. That's what He will do in you forever. And because of that, we can say this to one another. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.